I really have one point or one thought that I would like to briefly give to you, and pray that the Lord is in this. But let me go through just a couple of Psalms here, and then jump to another book and close out pretty quickly. Psalm 109. David says here in the 29th verse, 28th and 29th verses, "Let them curse, but bless thou when they arise. Let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul." So he's praying, let his adversaries be clothed with shame and covered with their own confusion. Now in Psalm 137, a few pages over, Psalm 137, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy." And then he says in this seventh verse here, "Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof." So he brings Edom into this. Again, I don't want to take a lot of time here, but Edom, of course, is a nation that that came from the family of Esau. So you know, you all know that name, Esau. But it was a nation that came from Esau. It was a nation of Edom, and they had their own problems. I'm not going to go into a lot of that this morning. Edom never took Israel or Judah captive. I mean, if we're talking about Babylon here, but during that captivity of the Babylonians of Judah, the southern kingdom, which God put them into that captivity for punishment. We have scripture that says why he did that. And then he told them it's 70 years. They knew this is how long it's going to be. And all that's just an interesting concept right there to know. But so God did that. So he punishes his people for something, for things, and you can always take it all the way back to idolatry. But here he talks about Edom, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof." Now, Edom was an adversary that I began with, adversaries of Judah, of Israel, of course. Go back to Esau and Jacob. So the nation followed through with that. Now going to the shortest book in the Old Testament, I should just leave it at that. See if y'all find it's Obadiah. It's what it is. That's what it is. Obadiah, one chapter, if you will. There, but it is, and Brother Ronnie's not here today to complain about this short little prophet in here. After Amos is where it is. But real quickly, the vision of Obadiah is what it begins with here. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. So this, the burden and vision of Obadiah, this prophet of God, was Edom, that nation. That's what it concerned there. So that's Obadiah's prophecy for the most part. But he'd heard a rumor or a report from the Lord. But it says, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. So it's God talking, as we know, but I'll remind you of that. Now, just a couple of things here, and I'll make my point and get out of the way. The third verse of Obadiah says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? So Edom, and this is not talking about the cleft of the rock. This is not talking about Jesus Christ. And this is the clefts of the rock. Edom had a city, and it was had two different names. Petra was one of them. But it was high in a rocky area, very narrow. And just a few men could defend physically that area there. They thought, oh, no one's going to take us down. No army's going to do that. Well, God had something else in mind here. And of course, I think of this, you know, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. And that's certainly a warning to us as well. I know this was an evil nation here, and they continually were an adversary. They were adversarial toward Israel, Judah. But then it says in the 10th verse, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Shame shall cover thee. That's what David prayed, that his adversaries would be covered with their own shame, and that their own confusion would be a mantle over them and would cover them. And here this is happening by God Almighty, the Lord of hosts here. Let me grab the fourth verse, and then so in the fourth verse up there that I left off, though thou shalt exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, that high and lifted up there in that the rocky area, that narrow, easily defended city, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Now in this, what the thought that came to mind? Now. God has well in hand the punishment of his people at Babylon. The Chaldeans, they come in there, and then Israel's already taken by the Assyrians. So now we have the southern kingdom. And they thought, oh, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. I think that's in another psalm. Anyway, they thought, nothing can ever take us. We have the temple. We have God here and all. Well, God had other plans for them, but he's punishing them. But at the same time, God has handled their adversary, Edom. Now, they would mock them as they're coming through this region and so forth. Edom would be cruel to the Israelites, the Hebrew people, and yet they didn't take a bunch of prisoners and all, but they were adversarial toward them. But even, and so I think about my adversaries, and I think of the things that that can become my adversaries. In our adversaries in our lives, I'm not even talking about a person or people or anything, and I know those are out there, the things that happen in life, in fact, what things are adversarial to me that take me away from serving God and that lift up me in my own eyes, and then I stop serving God as I should. I think about, and I don't know why this is so much on my mind, when someone dies, for instance, that can become an adversary to us, our enemy, that we forget what we know to be true in death, that separation of where they are and all. We've experienced this too many times all in this year already, and then also illnesses and all, it draws us away. You find out someone is sick, was some disease and so-called terminal. The concern that just overwhelms you in that, and it becomes an adversary. But even if I am being punished at the time, God is still handling my adversaries. He's got them handling. Next week, when my adversaries hit me, He's already handled them. He's got them well in hand. May God bless you. Come ahead.